Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.
While they're doing that, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going back to Colossians 1 because I like it. We're in a series right now this month called Night and Day. And so last week we focused on hope in the darkness, but this week we're going to speak a little bit about taking authority in the midst of darkness. We're going to talk about breaking the power of darkness. And from the space which we do that is Jesus. So Colossians 1, just 13 and 14, it says this: He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what's the big idea here? There's always a big idea when we read scripture. We teach that to our kids, we teach it in here. Jesus didn't come just to comfort people in darkness, he came to deliver them from it. He didn't come just to affirm you as you are right now, he came to transform you. You can take who you are to the cross, you can't take it through it. Nobody gets to do that. He gives you a new name, a new identity. All things become new. The old has passed away. Paul teaches the church of Corinth that he's going to transform us from one level of glory to another level of glory, ever into the image of the Son. But there's this little word called two in the middle of it. We love the idea of glory and glory, but then there's a process in the midst of that that readies us for what God wants to do next. And that often involves fire. And, you know, not necessarily the fun fire. It's the refining fire. It's the transforming fire. It's the fire that burns. It's the fire that takes what was and just makes that ash so that he can erect something new in your life. Does that make sense? It sounds fun, doesn't it? Speaking of prison ministry, several years ago, there was a man who was released from prison and he had served a long sentence. And the day came when the prison doors opened and he was officially free, but something strange happened. For the first few days, he kept asking permission to do things. Permission to go outside, permission to eat, permission to leave the room. Even though he was free, his mind was still living in the prison. The guards were gone, the doors were open, but the prison still existed in his thinking. And the counselor helping him said something powerful. He said, "You are not in prison anymore, but you still believe that you are." Many believers live exactly like that spiritually. As a matter of fact, we see that process even with Israel, where Moses leads Israel out of captivity and they're free people, but trying to teach a slave nation to become a free people is a process that takes time. This is why Peter even teaches, act as free men. I think that's in the King James version. I think the ESV says, act as though you are free. Why? Because you are. Even if you don't feel like you're free from some things, there is an aspect within you that has been broken out of the domain of darkness. You've been given the spirit of adoption. You're placed in a royal household. The chains are broken, but sometimes we spend a lifetime standing in the midst of broken chains instead of stepping out and declaring, I am free from that thing. It's time to step out. Jesus already opened the prison door, but many people, we still live like we're in the prison. But the word of God over us is powerful. God has delivered us from that domain of darkness. Not, he doesn't comfort you in the midst of it, and he gives you comfort, sure, but the whole purpose is to get you out. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. But it doesn't say, hey, let's build a camp here in the middle of my valley. Oh, Brother Paul, I'm in the valley. Well, keep walking. Keep moving. It's where you are in the moment, but that is not your destiny. Do not make your affliction, your difficulty, your history, your identity, because he's given you a new one. Take that on and walk it out. He's not managing your darkness. He's not managing affliction. He's delivering us from it. So today we're going to talk about breaking the power of darkness. And we're going to talk about a few points that will walk us through the progression from night to day. But number one, you have to realize this. Darkness has a strategy. And so if darkness has a strategy, it stands to reason that the Word of God has a strategy for you to break out of the power of darkness. And here's the thing. Darkness rarely shows up suddenly. Because that's obvious. You know, the enemy's been doing this for a long time. This is not anything new. It usually works slowly. The enemy has a strategy. You know, spiritual or soul blindness, bondage, lies, isolation. We talked about that last week. But the enemy blinds people so they don't see the truth. We see that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says this, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So how does he do that? Well, he convinces people, even if chains are broken, that you're still in them. Did God really say that you could be free? If you said yes to Jesus, if you walked through the cross, if you allowed his blood to cleanse you from your sin, did God really say that? Or is he just trying to overlord something? Is he just trying to oppress you? He's trying to keep you from being who you are. Absolutely. He wants to make you new. This is who you are. He says, you'll never change. This is just your personality. Everybody struggles like this. And little by little, lies become agreements. We build systems of logic based upon lies that we believe to be true. And agreements become strongholds. Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but destruction rarely begins with catastrophe. It begins with deception, and subtle at that. So what's the kingdom key here? The enemy's greatest weapon is not power, it is deception. We have the power advantage, but we have to guard ourselves from deception. Break the lie and you weaken the darkness. But the gospel tells us something stronger than, something is stronger than the strategy of darkness. Jesus has authority over it. So that brings us to number two. Jesus has authority over darkness. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read about 13 verses here. I love this story. When I read larger portions of Scripture, my temptation is always to teach through it because there's so much richness in the Word of God, but I'm going to stay on point. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26. And it says this, then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion. For many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes had asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with them, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is one of the most powerful stories in the gospel. There's a bunch, but this is up there, top 10, 20. The man was completely bound. He was isolated from society. He was controlled by darkness. He was living among death, literally. And not even chains could hold him. Community couldn't restore him. But one encounter with Jesus changed everything. See, when Jesus speaks, darkness obeys. Think about that moment. All the chaos, all the torment, all the bondage. And the moment Jesus arrives, everything begins to change. Because darkness may have influence, but Jesus has authority. This is the God that we serve. This is the name that we declared, even in the midst of worship. Did you speak Jesus over your circumstance this morning? Did you speak Jesus into the influence of darkness that we face every single day, Monday through Saturday? Are you living from the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the cross, the power of his blood? We're living from a space of victory. There are skirmishes, there are battles, but the battle belongs to the Lord. He won the victory 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus speaks, even as he speaks through you, darkness will bow for those who believe. Do you believe today?
Yes!
It's like, you know, when a police officer steps into the middle of a busy intersection and raises his hand, traffic stops, usually. Not because the officer is stronger than the cars. It's not like if the car decides to just roll up on him that he's going to put his hand out and stop the car. It's not about power. It's about authority. Because the officer carries that authority in that sphere. Jesus carries authority over every power of darkness. So what's the kingdom key here? Look, guys, freedom begins when you stop fighting darkness in your own strength and start standing in Christ's authority. Does that require a little bit of sacrifice? Yeah, it does. A lot. He laid down his life. We lay down our lives. We pick up our cross. We walk that out daily. And then we walk in Christ's authority. And you can walk into a place, man, don't be surprised that you walk into some place and like people just start, like demons just start manifesting because they freak out when light comes. But more importantly, people will be drawn to the light of your being. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The nations will be drawn to the lightness that he establishes over you and in you and through you. We want to see what God can do through you. So freedom begins when you stop fighting darkness in your own strength and start standing in Christ's authority. But here's where the message gets personal. Because many believers know Jesus has authority, but they still feel stuck. Do you feel stuck this morning? Why? Because freedom requires participation. To participate in the idea of freedom over your life. Otherwise, you will still operate as an orphan. You will still operate as one who belongs to a slave spiritual nation. But once you say yes to Jesus, he takes you and he removes, the word says, as far as the east is from the west, I cast your sin from you. He removes that stuff and the influence and the power of sin and death and darkness over your life as you participate with him in his divine nature. Freedom requires participation. And that brings us to number three. Freedom requires bringing darkness into the light. And I'm not talking about other people's darkness. I'm talking about yours first. There's a place for that too, but start with you. See, many people want freedom privately. I remember, you know, years ago, I was in my 20s and, you know, revival was breaking out and it was a bunch of us. We went and played paintball in Upton. And this guy I knew, he was the son of a pastor and he was sitting there and he was in his 20s too, but sitting there smoking a cigarette and he was like, I have faith, but my faith is private. I said, bro, that ain't faith. That's just not. Because faith moves. Faith is active. Faith brings transformation, and not just for you or to you, but also through you. There's no such thing as a private faith. I can go into hostile nations, and even there, I see a faith that is not private. I see a faith that moves people. I see a faith that invites people into salvation. I see a faith that brings deliverance and healing. How much more in a nation that is relatively free, right? I mean, we're basically free. I mean, we might think that we're persecuted, but when you've seen real persecution, you start to reevaluate what you think persecution is. Not being called a bad name, or I was called a Jesus freak when I was in business. My last office, they were like, oh, that's that Jesus freak. We had proselytizing warlocks. I didn't know they did that. They were like handing out like witch tracts and materials, like trying to grow their thing. And I was a Jesus freak. And I thought everybody hated me because of that. But let me tell you that the day that I left, they wept. Because even when I was cranky and I was like, I just wanted to fire everybody. I was just cranky about everything that was going on there. But they felt the love of God. See, that's how God can perfect his power even in your weakness. Even when you don't feel lovely, even when you don't feel joyful, you don't feel any of the fruit of the Spirit, when you step into a dark place, his light will overcome even the shadows that are on your mind in a moment, because he has such compassion for the people around you. He will still use you in your bad mood, in your cranky mood, in your tired mood, whatever it is that you're carrying that day. As a matter of fact, on that day, it's probably the day that he will bring that divine appointment before you, just to see, will you bow to the moment and lift Jesus up in your life? So many people want freedom privately, but God often brings freedom through exposure. What does that look like? James 5:16. It tells us to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another so that we may be healed. If someone confesses to you, that might not be the time to give them counsel. Well, I mean, Christians, we are addicted to giving counsel. I've seen it over and over again. Somebody shares a prayer request, especially like healing, and then like, you know, 20 people give them health tips. I was talking to James Gall several years ago, and you know, he's had spine problems, and you know, I've had spine problems. I've had a couple surgeries, and you know, it's not just because I'm old. I had a dirt bike accident a long time ago, but and he was telling me about all the crazy remedies that people send him all the time. I was like, yeah, it's just how we do. You know, I don't know, like 15 years ago on our prayer chain, we had to bring some correction, because you can like write us and we have a prayer team, we'll pray for you. And people were sending in prayer requests, and then people were calling and writing and giving them advice. If somebody asks you to pray, just pray. If they ask for advice, give them advice. But we love to give counsel, but man, if somebody confesses to you, weep with them in that moment and pray. Confess our sins one to another and pray for one another. Why? So we might be healed. Why is this so important? Because darkness survives and thrives in secrecy. But confession breaks it. When you confess darkness, when you confess the things that you're struggling with, when you confess your sins one to another, the things that are hidden come into the light and they lose their power over you. But I know it's scary. It's scary to tell people like your stuff and your weaknesses and all that. So it because you're afraid of judgment. And sometimes people will do that, but Jesus extends his scepter of justice to you even in that moment. And he says, no, this one, it's justified by faith, righteous by faith, justified by the blood. It's the end of the story. That sin is no more. That's what confession does for you. But many people stay bound because they keep hiding. Healing starts when hiding ends. And sometimes when you're in pain, the hardest thing to do is to unhide yourself, to allow yourself to be exposed by love and to love. So what's the kingdom key here? And get this in you as a confessor and as one who might receive a confession from someone else. Confession is not humiliation. Confession is liberation. It literally will set you free, or at least put you on the process of freedom. Some things take time. Some deliverances come over time because it's not even so much a deliverance from the enemy, it's a deliverance from your own strongholds. You know, casting demons out, we could do that. We can cast a demon out, but strongholds must be dismantled in your mind. And so when someone truly experiences freedom, their story begins to change. And that brings us to number four. Freedom turns you into a witness. Are you a witness for Jesus today? Have you been a witness for Jesus this week? Have you been a witness for Jesus even over the last few months? Culturally, you know, the church points to, you know, Good Friday and Easter. Look, these are sacred gatherings. In our stream, in our context, you know, in our effort to be free and, you know, be prophetic and, you know, we have lost a little bit of the sacredness of gathering together as believers in moments that point to significant moments of history. The cross is the most significant point in history that will ever be. And that Good Friday service has been one of the most powerful services that we have ever done over the years. The question is twofold. You know, are you willing to come? And number two, are you willing to pull someone in and through to the light that is before them? That's the question. Are you a witness? Because freedom turns you into a witness. We just see that, we saw that in Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus gives the instruction, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Look, every time we have a God encounter, the whole point of the God encounter is to be sent. Sometimes we want to rally around this idea of revival. We want to rally around, like we make the mountaintop experience the goal. The goal is not the mountaintop. The mountaintop fuels you, charges you, fills you, empowers you to go back down into the valley and do what Jesus said, which is tell everybody what I just did. I'm sure the dude wanted to stay with Jesus forever. I would. I'd be like, don't make me go back there. I want to stay here. It's like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. We want to pitch a tent. We want to live here. We've seen the light of God. This is a portal. Hey, I'm getting in the portal. I'm just going to stay in the portal. It's a vortex. Oh God, I want to stay here. No, when that happens, there's a moment in time when Jesus says, what are you still doing here? Go and do what I told you to do, because freedom makes you a witness. I like portals. See, after Jesus frees the man from the tomb, something incredible happens. The man wants to follow Jesus, he should. But to follow Jesus means that you will go and likely go into some uncomfortable situations. He says, go back home and tell people what God has done for you. Your freedom becomes someone else's hope. When God brings you from darkness to light, when he transforms your existence from night to day, your story becomes a beacon for others. And there are people in your life who are still stuck in their night season because they have not seen the light of dawn rise up and out of you. We want to see what God can do through you. And we want to see it here on a Sunday morning, but more importantly, we want to see it out there. I have no idea. And your testimony, I'm telling you right now, your testimony is the light that they need. You might think, oh, I don't really have a testimony. Lisa's up here, you know. She used to joke about her testimony. And she said, she would say, literally say this. She goes, after a life of alcohol and drugs, and there was a moment in our younger years, would she say, and prostitution, I got saved at the age of 2. Because we just grew up in this stuff, man. I've already told you, like the first encounter that I remember in God was when I was 2 in a crib. I don't remember anything else about 2, but I remember that. I don't remember a lot of things like 2, 3, 4 years old, but I remember that. And you might think, oh, I don't really have a testimony. I don't really have. Yes, you do. If Christ resides in you, you have the testimony of Jesus. And when you release the testimony of Jesus, the word says that that is literally the spirit of prophecy. You might think, I'm not a prophet. I don't see things. You got Jesus in you. And when you release that testimony, it shifts the atmosphere around you and automatically becomes an invitation. We can't make people say yes, but we can bring them to the point of decision. And so you leave the encounter, you leave the moment, you leave the Sunday morning, and you walk in freedom, which means you are carrying the testimony of what Christ has done for you. And your testimony is the light that people around you need right now. So that brings us back to the last kingdom key. Your freedom is not just for you. It's not just for your blessing. It's not just so you can prosper. It's what God wants to do through you. Your freedom is meant to lead others into the light. Let me say it one more time without my added commentary. Your freedom is not just for you. Your freedom is meant to lead others into the light. So we started talking about the man who was in prison. Over the years, we've talked a lot about this idea that Jesus breaks the chains of dominion off of our lives, but so often it's all we know. We've made our identity associated with our lack, or our infirmity, or our history. The way I was raised, this is the way that I am. It's just it's the way that I've always been. It's never gonna change. And Jesus is like, what are you doing? Look down, the chains are broken. Many of us, we still live the same way spiritually. Prison doors were blown open. For some of you, the prison doors are opening right now. Even in the midst of worship, I could feel like this breaker anointing come into the room, just starting to break things off of people that engaged in faith. And some of you, maybe not. Even engaging in faith. Sometimes God just says, hey, I'm gonna kick the door open. I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and they were like, I don't remember who it was. And they're like, yeah, you know, Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Sometimes. But the word also says he is God and he does whatever he pleases. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit was not always a gentleman with me, because I'm stubborn. He could say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I just, you keep knocking, bro. I ain't open that door. I'm doing my thing. And he's like, okay, boom. We're coming to breach. Let's go. He set the charges. He blew the door off of my heart. Why? I don't know. I had a praying mom. My mom probably said, yeah, God, you know, I know we like the free will thing, but not for this one. No free will for that son, because Jesus already paid the price. Darkness no longer has authority over your life unless you give it. Don't cede ground. Don't give up authority to anything other than Jesus. Doesn't mean that you're not gonna suffer. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna have hard times. It doesn't mean that you're not gonna wake up depressed some days, but you don't have to give authority to that thing. You speak to it. I speak Jesus in the mountains. I speak Jesus in the streets. And so today, some of us, we still gotta walk out of this prison. We've been kind of talking about this for months. How do we know? Well, we know by fruit. Some of us are still living bound. We're wrapped up in our own circumstance. We're wrapped up in our own difficulty. We're wrapped up in our history. We're wrapped up in our pain. Feel the pain. That's what I loved about what Lisa said. It's like she was here and she remained. And let me tell you, even in that season of her life or that storm within the season, she didn't stop speaking about Jesus. Sometimes in your most broken moments is where the sweetest fragrance of Christ comes out. I went through a dark night of the soul back in 2003, 2004. My whole identity was stripped. Everything that I thought that I was no more. And I was stripped bare, broken. I didn't know who I was anymore. I wasn't in ministry. I didn't know anything. But in the midst of that, there was like this crack in my soul and this sweet fragrance began to come out. And when I got to the other side of it, the sweetness was so much greater than the difficulty that I told the Lord, and I said it sincerely. If you have to do that again, I'm okay with it because the sweetness is worth the brokenness. Some of us need to walk out of the prison, not someday, today, right here, right now. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. The prison door is open, but you have to come out. Just like the man in prison. When that door opens and you step outside of that thing, don't turn your head. Keep walking. Keep moving. Change is coming. Victory is upon you. Live as though you are free. Why? Because you are. So we've talked about something real. Darkness doesn't just make people uncomfortable. It is trying to keep you bound. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, your heart's beginning to pound within you. I know what that feels like. And you've tried to change, you've tried to stop, you've tried to move forward, but it always feels like something is keeping you back. You're stuck. But again, the good news of the gospel is this: Jesus didn't just come to comfort you in that moment of darkness. He came to set you free from it. Again, the Bible tells us that God delivered us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. It's a new identity. It's a new family. He gives you spiritual royal robes, but that comes with royal responsibility. And that also means that darkness does not have the final word over your life. Not your addiction, not your affliction. There is no fear, no failure, no constraint from your history that will have the final word. Right here, right now, I declare that the prison door is open. Will you step out? Freedom begins with one step. So step into the light. If you find yourself saying, even in recent days, weeks, I'm tired of living bound. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus, but I'm ready for freedom. We're going to have a moment for you in just a moment. And it's not a moment of embarrassment. It's a moment of breakthrough. The same Jesus who set people free in Scripture is here today. And again, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Sometimes, you know, when we've been walking this thing for a long time, we lose sight of our lack. Darkness becomes normal. We become acquainted with everything that is lesser than the plan that he has for you. This is that time. to step up and to step out. If there's an aspect of your life that has just still been bound, that you feel stuck, that you haven't broken into freedom, I just want you to stand up right now. And it's wherever you are. Maybe this is your first time saying yes to Jesus. Maybe it's not. But this is that time. This is a time to say before everybody, you know what? I got stuff in my life and I want to be free today. I want to break out. I want to step out. And I want to be a fruit bearer for Jesus. I want to hear the words of Jesus. Oh, you've received. Now go and tell people about it. And before we pray, again, we talked about breaking the power of darkness today. And next week, we're going to talk about learning to walk in the light. Next week is Palm Sunday, isn't it? We're already there. Because freedom isn't just a moment. It's not a moment of something that happens. It is a new way of living. Palm Sunday is coming, then Good Friday, then Easter, and there are people in your world still living inside their prison. This week, touch them with a word, maybe a hand on the shoulder. Let them see Jesus in your eyes. Text them, invite them, bring them with you. Bring the broken. Because the same Jesus who sets you free and the same Jesus who is setting you free today is ready to set them free too. As you stand this morning, even as a confession that, you know what, I don't have it all together. The Lord's showing me right now things in me that are stuck. I know the things that I've held on to, the things that I've held on to comfort my soul and to comfort my pain and things I didn't even realize. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would search us and know us. Would you find anything in us that inhibits the free flow of your glory, of your grace, of your power, of your anointing, of your love? Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.